Our fifth and final question this evening. Several years ago, the General Assembly eliminated highway user revenue funds for local jurisdictions' transportation projects. Do you have plans to restore this fund? What policies do you have to ensure that transportation infrastructure remains adequately funded in the coming years? Mr. Lawler?
I first do not believe that let me rephrase. I believe we have the revenue for the transportation fund if we simply stop robbing it. I don't believe that we need to go forward, for example, with projects like the Purple Line or even the Red Line, because quite honestly, we simply can't afford them. And the ridership on both those lines won't even be able to pay for the project itself. When the project was first estimated at $1.2 billion, the federal government had committed about $500 million to help supplement it, making it the largest public partnership in the country. 2 years later, after spending $20 million on an analysis of this plan for this Purple Line, they found that the cost has escalated to almost $2.3 billion. There's no money to pay for it. So what did our current governor do? He took even more pensions, almost $200 in pensions, out of the teacher's pension in Annapolis. That type of reckless leadership will never do anything good to make our transportation situation any better. So what will allow our Timmerman administration do? We will ensure that enforceable lockbox. I want to make sure that hits home for you at home. That enforceable lockbox legislatively will keep legislators, senators, delegates, and the governor from robbing one fund over another and just hapless placing one money here, money there, which I believe is corruption and people should be put in jail behind it anyway, to ensure that the fund is secure. And then I'll make sure that the appropriations for the transportation fund are there so we can go forward and build better roads or take care of the roads we have, to include taking care of our bridges. Thank you.
Mr. Hogan.
The answer is yes. We will restore the highway user revenues, and we will put the money back in the Transportation Trust Fund. You know, our governor, at a State of the State address, had the gall to stand up before the legislature and say, we've got crumbling roads and bridges in our state and the worst traffic in the nation. And you know what? He's right. But he didn't tell you why. They've siphoned $1 billion out of the Transportation Trust Fund. They've cut highway user revenues to local governments by 90%. We fully funded highway user funds during the Ehrlich administration, and we're going to do it again in the Hogan administration. I've talked to local jurisdictions everywhere across the state, and this has been devastating to them. Not only have we not fixed any of the highways and state roads across our state for 8 years, not only have we taken all the money out of the Transportation Trust Fund, no local government is able to fix their streets because of the money that was cut off by the O'Malley administration, and we're going to turn it around. You know, the little bit of money that was left in the transportation budget of this administration was also misspent. You know, they took $1 billion out and spent it on things totally not related to transportation whatsoever. There's a so-called lockbox, but they were able to pick the lock. The money that was left in the transportation fund, you realize that 53% of that money went to mass transit projects in Baltimore and the Washington area that only 6% of our citizens ride? That doesn't make any sense. So first of all, we're gonna as quickly as we can replenish the Transportation Trust Fund. As fast as we can, we're going to get caught up with the local governments on the money that they deserve in the highway user revenues, and we're going to reorder the priorities of the transportation. This administration went an entire year without a Secretary of Transportation. They had no plan whatsoever except to steal the money and not fix any roads. We're going to do things differently. It's a priority. We're way behind. We're 8 years behind schedule on fixing our roads. We're going to make sure it is a priority, and it's going to get done in our administration.
Mr. George.
Well, between 2009 and 2011, Mr. O'Malley robbed the Transportation Trust Fund of $868 million, those 3 years alone. Took all the local user highway funds, $868 million. Now, the Transportation Trust Fund does not fill all the needs that we have for transportation, just a portion of it. But one thing I will do, and this is very important for everyone to understand in every jurisdiction, I'm going to be a governor for all Maryland, and Baltimore City is a huge drain that most jurisdictions, including your own, are sending way too much money to Baltimore to take care of their roads and things they're unable to take care of themselves, that all the other counties take care of themselves. I'm going to fix the tax base in Baltimore, help it to grow so you can keep your money home. It helps everybody all the way across the board. Again, gas tax revenue minus the automatic increases that I will repeal because that's absurd. Those, all the gas tax money should go to roads and bridges, not to transit, to roads and bridges. We are reactive in our transportation plan. We should be proactive. I will put together that proactive plan. Our transportation department puts a plan, a six-year plan together, and I go look at it and I see glaring mistakes constantly. We can solve this problem. We can take care of our roads and bridges. Let the gas tax money go to that, and I can solve this problem. And I will put that money back, and you will get your user highway funds. Thank you.
Mr. Craig.
Well, as a candidate for governor, I have the experience because I was the county executive when we got hit by this robbery by the current administration. That cost Harford County $60 million, and we were still able to take care of what we needed to do because we had never done any projects by borrowing money. But I could see what happened having been the only person to have been the president of BANCO and the president of MML, the Maryland Association of Counties and the Municipal League, Maryland Municipal League, having been mayor. I saw this happen as mayor also. So I know that Somerset County has different issues slightly than Garrett County, but this is an issue that all counties, that's from one end of the state to the other, all counties have been hurt by this. When I was in the House of Delegates in the 1990s, I voted against the gas tax increase. And when I had people approach me about it, I said, here's the situation. None of this is going to go in for roads. The people that were coming were people that did road construction. I said, it's all going to go to mass transit. And when that bill passed, it did. So I saw the history of this back in the 1990s. So we know what needs to be done. We will do it. The very first year, we're going to put it back at 100%. We're not going to send any money for these, actually, $5 billion worth of projects. The Purple Line and the Red Line combined are almost $5 billion. We're going to make sure the money goes to restore your roads because you can see after this winter all the potholes that are out there and all the other things that are out there that need to be fixed. And we've had more pedestrian fatalities because of situations like this. As the county executive, I have to deal with 1,200 miles of roads, so I know what it's like when people call in with this concern. So we have the experience of what the bad part is, and we have the experience of how to turn it around and do it correctly. So first year, you'll get your money back.
Let's give a nice round of applause to all the five candidates for the responses. Now we will go into closing comments. Each candidate will have 1 minute and 10 seconds in closing comments. We'll start with Mr. Craig.
It's a very good pleasure to be here. I want to thank each of you for coming and thank you for doing the moderation for this. It's a very pleasure to be down here to get the message out that David Craig and Jeannie Hadaway have the experience that you need in Annapolis, not to change Maryland, but to preserve our past, promote our future. We just need to change what's on the second floor, who the governor is. And we also need help on the first floor with good delegates and good senators, and you need to get out. You need to make sure you can vote and get those people out to represent you very well. We're going to provide good tax relief by eliminating taxes and lowering taxes. We're going to spend less money. We are going to do it transparently. We are going to protect your freedoms. We are going to eliminate issues that have taken away your Second Amendment rights, issues that have given you unaffordable health care, issues that have been on Common Core where politicians shouldn't be concerned with that. David Craig and Jeannie Hadaway have the experience to do this because we're not career politicians. I worked in a factory for 6 years to make sure I could go to college. Jeannie's a small business owner, but we're 14-0 when it comes to beating a Democrat in an election. We can prove it. We've done it. And I've had friends, Democrats for David Craig since the 1990s. And last year when I ran for county executive, I got 82% of the vote.
Mr. George.
Well, thank you. I want to thank all of you very much. It's an honor to be here. Somebody said, boy, you look good. You must be vacationing. No, I've been out knocking on doors, shaking hands, putting up signs. Campaigns are hard work, and I'm a hard worker. I will be a hard worker as your governor. I will give 100%. I know no other way. You need a governor who serves the people, not political interest, not special interest, not certain companies, not donors, but treats everyone fairly across the board. I've been married 33 years. I love my wife very much. I have 6 children, ages 32 to 12. I have 5 grandchildren. My 5th was just christened today, and it's the first family event I've ever missed. So it was down in Charlotte, North Carolina, down there. But, you know, I've been so blessed. I've been so blessed. And I want to give back. When I was in New York City, I saw kids, runaways, and pushouts on the streets. I saw women forced into drugs and then prostitution, young women and teenagers. I got into counseling. I helped start an emergency shelter there. I started family centers. My running mate, Shelley Aloy, Shelley is here. Shelley was a teacher at the university and high school level. She's done a lot of volunteer work herself. She's a banking analyst. She was the one who devised AIDS in a dish in the lab at Fort Detrick that helped them work on that. She's a genius, and she understands. I should let you know also, she was the number one women's fighter in the Southeast region by Karate Illustrated. So I have my detail. She's a wonderful person. Listen, I can solve Maryland's problems. I hope in this short time, with 1 and 2 minute answers, we were able to convey that. But you can also go see my economic plan. It was called the most comprehensive, and I was called a leader in putting together, by the Baltimore Sun, a plan that can work for Maryland. I hope you go look at it. I'm Ron George, and I could use your vote. And together, we will turn Maryland around. Thank you.
Mr. Hogan.
Well, thanks again for this opportunity to talk with you tonight. Thank you all for watching and sitting here and listening to us all. Gave us a great opportunity. Folks, this is a very critical election. Our state is really at a crossroads. I happen to believe that this may be our last chance to turn this state around before it's too late. We simply cannot afford another 4 years by the same monopoly that has run our great state into the ground over the past 8 years. Folks, this isn't just your typical fight between Republicans and Democrats. It's more important than that. This is a fight for Maryland's future, and it's a fight worth fighting. I've been really humbled by the tremendous success we've had in our campaign, the number of people that have joined in our effort. We've got tremendous momentum. We got, for the first time since 2002, when Bob Ehrlich was elected, this is the first time that any Republican has gotten down to single digits in a poll behind the number one Democrat in the race. We have a real chance to win this race this year, folks, but I can't do it without your help. I'm asking tonight for your vote and for your help. With all of us working together, I really believe that we can send a loud and clear message to those politicians in Annapolis and that we can change Maryland for the better. Thank you.
Mr. Lawler.
What an honor tonight to be able to address you all and have this conversation with you and you all at home. Thank you so much to these gentlemen that I think did a fine job today in giving their viewpoints and what they see we need to do in Maryland. I believe as well that we have a great opportunity here as we've never seen before, but it's going to call for real leadership. I chuckle when I hear people try to pull strings at the leadership experience that I as a candidate have to be the executive of this state. To be a Fortune 500 CEO and general manager and to employ 213 people and run a $23 million P&L, the companies just don't turn those keys over to just anybody. The United States Marine Corps didn't trust me and 52 Marines behind me to go into combat and bring them all back home alive by God's grace because I have failed leadership. No, we have the leadership that it's going to take Maryland down the road where it needs to go. And I want you to think about this because you may have a different sticker on other than Charles Lawler, but keep this in mind. The ballots are boxed or private for a reason. When you close that curtain, use it for a reason and think this thing through when we come out of this primary. There's no question who's going to be on the general side. You're going to want someone to debate with a strong background in leadership that has found nonpartisan solutions and that already has Democrats for Lawler organizations in Montgomery, Prince George's, and Baltimore City. That is Charles Lawler. My wife, Rosha, will make a great first lady, but I need your help. Lawler, the number 4governor.com. Thank you all so much, and God bless you.
Thank you. Once again, thanks to all the candidates for their participation. We hope this gives you, the voters, the opportunity to make an intelligent decision at the polls on June 24th. Remember, if you want change, you've got to get out and vote. Thank you.